welcome to Packet Pushers Briefings in Brief, an audio digest of IT news and information from the Packet Pushers, including vendor briefings, industry research and commentary. Today we're coming to you from Network Field Day, where we've been being briefed. I'm Greg Ferrer, with me is Drew Connery-Murray. It is the 26th of January 2018, and we're talking about Cisco Systems. Now, of course, Cisco Systems is a big beast, but what we were talking to was a couple of business units from there. The session started off with unusually, I thought, with a discussion around user experience, not something you get every day.
No, and it sounds like this person not only is working on user experience, but also doing surveys and talking to customers about how best to present all of the information that can surface up to you. And we saw some test designs.
Yeah, which was, well, the thing is that you've heard me talk about on the show, on Packet Pushers more generally, that user experience of these products is pretty abysmal.
Yes.
And that's partly my criticism around the command line interface, is that it's not intuitive, it's not obvious. And you end up becoming an expert in a user interface that's pretty pointless to know
right.
in the long term. So the idea that they're actually hiring, you know, people to specialize in working out what people want was actually really refreshing.
Right, and you know, the design will be familiar to anyone who's seen sort of the modern, you know, web-based UI. It's very clean. It's a lot of white space.
Too much white space.
Too much for you.
Yeah,
a little bit minimalist. But the fact that I felt like it seemed, again, the notion is ease of use. Walk you through some screens,
yeah,
and if that's what they're going for, they were getting.
Yeah, I've seen that lots and lots of white space in other things. It's a bit of a trend, and it's like, you know, so this Caesar is what I really feel like. And I suspect it'll alienate a lot of engineers because we're used to much more dense. But the thing that I really got out of it was that, you know, we've seen vSphere for ESX, you know, this idea of managing your fleet, and then that leads into the, you know, vRealize, where you actually manage your entire, you know, server estate, and, you know, same with Hyper-V for Wind, and then obviously Kubernetes, you know, topic du jour of the month is all about orchestrating your containers, and so all of a sudden this DN, the SD Access demo that we saw following on, they were talking about how to insert a firewall into a campus and, you know, one click, one button, create a VRF right away all across your campus using SD Access was really about the same sort of way of approaching the network, to my mind, as what we've seen everywhere else in IT.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the Meraki sort of approach to networking is starting to bleed into the rest of Cisco, because that sort of clean interface, lots of dashboards, and very simplified operations with all the complexity pushed under the covers a little bit.
Yeah, I still have deep concerns around SD Access, because it all seems to be based on, you know, emerging technologies like Lisp that, you know, I remain unconvinced about that. But at the end of the day, with a controller on the top that's got all that stuff in it, maybe it doesn't matter as long as Cisco can make that reliable and trustworthy.
Right.
Does it really matter how it does it?
No, not really.
So, you know, I should probably, you know, not try to be a big thing.
My takeaway was Cisco is trying to tell a story. They're coming to market with a concept that, hey, this is where we're going, everybody, so hold on tight. Don't buy anybody else. Yep. We're going to get there for you. And
but it wasn't... They kept saying it was intent and policy-driven.
Intent came up a lot, and it's not there yet.
No, I felt this was pretty much a configuration, you know, I do this, this is what happens. I didn't see intent as or policy, but then, you know, SD Access is only a few months old.
Right.
And I do think it's really coming from nowhere. It's not really based on any... So it's got a long road ahead of it. I don't think
Yeah, they have a lot of work on the automation and orchestration pieces before they can start moving into this more intent-based, you know, business policy-driven layer.
I'm very excited about SD Access, but I would not be rushing into it.
Yeah.
I think there's an awful lot of...
It needs to bake.
Needs to bake. And you've got to remember that Cisco's really only just started on this, and Cisco's a big company, and it takes big companies quite a few years to get these things finished.
Yeah.
And Cisco's also got a habit of selling these things before they're ready.
They do.
And I mean that nicely. That's a truth, right? That's not really a thing. And then we got a presentation on ISE, identity networking, fundamentally, this idea of authenticating the user as they connect to the network so you can track them. I thought that was really didn't seem to move the needle for me. This is a technology we've known about and is safe.
Yeah, I sort of felt like I'd heard this all before with the whole NAC conversation.
Yeah.
And they trotted out with TrustSec and talking about labeling and tagging the user and watching them where they're going and isolating them if something happens. And
so it has to be said that ISE is a key part of SD Access.
Yes.
Because the long-term vision is that Cisco will be able to sell you SD Access and ISE.
Yeah. You're not going to get one without the other, for sure.
No, and the security group tags is then going to be a key part of the policy and intent. So I think if they had been able to show us those two working together... I would have been more, you know, excited. It, definitely there's progress, but without the two working together, there's kind of like that's a story yet to be told.
And I think that's part of Cisco's thing is that they've got so many pieces, and now the goal of SD Access is essentially to sew them all together in a meaningful way that, that ties it all in so that you can use some leverage ICE, leverage Trust Group, leverage security group tags, et cetera, with a nice front end.
Yes, Cisco is a company of pieces.
Yeah.
Not a one company at all.
Right.
And not necessarily in a good way.
Right.
My Ostrom. So speaking of pieces, we had then had a presentation about iOS XR, one of the many operating systems that Cisco has, although it does seem to be converging strongly around iOS XE and iOS XR for different purposes. And we got quite a detailed presentation about what it is that's happening. And the use of, they're very strongly talking about how iOS XR has separated the network operating system away from a container in which the apps are. Now, that was something new to me, and I was quite excited to see that because that's something we've talked about. You have to get this isolation between the hardware, the NOS, and the application so that I can, well, change the applications without popping the device and, you know, rebooting it.
Right. Yeah, and the word that kept coming up a lot in this conversation about iOS XR was Linux.
Yeah, very much Linux.
Yeah.
Very much Linux. We later on had a session about Cumulus Linux, and the dichotomies were quite stark, the differences in approach from what Cisco's doing, which is very much a closed version of Linux.
Although I have to say, watching them talk about Linux, it's not that iOS XR is actually Linux, but they're allowing you to run Linux on top of iOS XR and then put applications on top of it. And it felt very much like I could have been watching a startup in some ways.
Yeah, it did get a sense. The thing that they talked a lot about smart booting of devices. So this IP, they talked about a protocol called IPXE, which is an extension of the PXE protocol, which if you've been in server land for a few decades, you'll know all about. You turn a server on, it goes off and remote boots according to the data that it finds in the PXE environment.
Yeah.
Except Cisco's gone and reinvented PXE and extended it so that it's suitable for routers. I can't make up my mind as to whether this is a good thing. Is this innovation, extending a technology to make it embraced for networking? Or we've already got ONIE. We've had so much time invested in ONIE. Why didn't they go and commit to ONIE and get that working and extend that? Because, you know, and of course, yes, okay, so, you know, if you've got a big data center full of servers, why don't you use the same thing as your servers? But the answer is you don't actually have that many networking devices. You know, why would you change an entire networking industry? Oh, well, not even the entire. If you're going to build something, if you're Cisco and you're going to build a PXE platform, then the whole of Cisco has to sign up to it.
Right.
And you and I both know that's not going to happen.
Probably not.
No. So I sort of feel a bit disappointed there in a sense.
But I will say, going back to my comment about it sounding like a startup, you heard them use things like, we want to make sure that this Linux environment you can run on our OS XR, if you want to use Ansible, you can use Ansible. If you want to use Puppet, you can use Puppet. If you want to use Chef, et cetera.
Yeah.
That kind of programmatic interfacing with the operating system.
And then we had a long discussion around telemetry.
Yes.
Now, telemetry is exciting. We've seen other companies talk extensively around telemetry, Juniper in particular. And it seems like Cisco's really getting into this yang. The Taillef acquisition is really starting to show and saying, like, you know, we've got all the telemetry data that you probably want.
Right.
And the demo really, so you should go and watch that video.
Yeah, if telemetry is your thing. Yeah, he went very deep in the demo on how they can extract telemetry and what you can do with it, and some advice even on what kinds of telemetry and how much you may want or not.
There's some key, really key data on there from a design, from a detailed design perspective around tools and GitHub locations where you can get access to advice and support.
Yeah,
and also some really interesting commentary about how much bandwidth it consumes, which I found very, very interesting. So I thought, in conclusions, one of the things that we were seeing sort of the fault lines between the Cisco BUs not lining up, like the difference between SD Access, which uses iOS XE, and the idea that, you know, click and it automatically does the whole thing, and then iOS XR, which is kind of like, you know, going off in a completely different direction, you know, Linux. And now it may be that that's the right thing for the market, but I still feel that Cisco would be better off unifying and coming in, you know, more wood behind one arrow than it is to say, oh, this market's totally different, so we'll develop a brand new product from the ground up. That I still can't shake that feeling somehow.
My takeaway is that Cisco has recognized that the market is changing, the way people use technology or want to use technology is changing. They may even feel like they're a little bit behind the curve, and so they're starting to take steps
definitely,
and catch up.
Definitely not innovation, definitely following, which is good, right? If you're a customer and you want to stick with your existing partnerships, which many people do, then this is probably the direction that we want to go. Well, that's it for this Briefings in Brief. If you want to find out more, you can head over to packetpushers.net. We've got lots more IT podcasts and news. You can find it at packetpushers.net/archive. And if you want to become a member, you can get access to some unique newsletters and other information at packetpushers.net/members. Thanks for listening.